Lord, bless you for this wonderful, wonderful woman of God. And Lord, Lord, we know what's in her. We've seen what's in her. We've seen the fire that burns in her heart. We've seen the passion for you and for your kingdom. And Lord, let it just, Papa, just let it rip. Let it all rip out of her this morning. And let it fry us this morning and change us and bring life and bring glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Well, I have to say this before I start. I haven't spoken with Shay or Tay before we started, but half my message has been preached already. So I'd like to start with how Jesus teaches us to pray in Matthew 6:9. And it's the very basic, it's the very simple, it's the Lord's Prayer. So can we have that clip up, please? I'm going to move out the way, and I'd really like everybody to stand and actually just let's pray this together, because when I was asked to do this, this was one of the very first things that came into my mind, especially two sentences, which I will go into in a minute. But if we can pray this together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Please take your seats. And I'm going to actually go through each line of that to start. Because it starts, this is how Jesus himself told us how to pray. And this is what it's all about. Our Father in heaven. It doesn't say that distant person out there. It says our Father, our parent who is in heaven. He's almighty, he's Lord of creation, and he doesn't have any weaknesses. And he's our Father. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means to be treated as sacred. Holy above all things. In other words, he deserves all the glory, the honor, the praise. It's all his. It belongs to the Father in heaven, our Father, our parent in heaven. Now, this was one of the sentences that really, really stuck out to me. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus tells us, pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We don't have to wait to go to heaven to experience the kingdom of heaven. It's here, ready for us to take hold of. I really believe this is God's heart, and it was really confirmation for me this morning with the songs and also what Shay said. I believe it's really God's word to say he wants his kingdom brought here on earth. We've been given everything we need. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the authority to preach good news. We've been given the authority to heal the sick and set captives free. Thy will be done. God is almighty and he can do whatever he wants anyway. But he wants us to know him, to understand his will, and want to do that and say yes, amen to what he wants. Why does he want this? Because God wants the best for us. He loves us so much. He has so much he wants to bless us with. And he's taught us what to pray to receive that. Give us this day our daily bread. When Jesus was in the desert, he was tempted by the enemy who said to him, if you're hungry, turn this stone into bread. But Jesus replied, man cannot live on bread alone. In John 6:33, it says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit every day in our lives. It carries on in John. I have come down not to do my will, but the will of the one who sent me, that none shall be lost that he has given me. The Father already knows our needs, but he wants to have for us to have the true bread of life. When I say that God already knows our needs, a few years ago, when we were in Greece, we'd had a car accident and things were going really badly. We couldn't run our business. We paid someone to look after us. We had no money even for the simplest of things. One day, something really simple, we'd run out of toothpaste and we didn't even have the money for that. So we just said, Lord, you know, we're in your hands. We know you're with us. And the next day, a Christian friend came to visit and she said, you know, I wanted to bring you flowers, but then I thought, I won't bring you flowers, I'll bring you something else. And she brought us toothpaste and a number of other necessities. God knows our needs. Right, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. God has forgiven us, as we know, but we have to hand our hurts over to him. Everyone that's hurt us, we've got to forgive, otherwise we can't move forward. So we need to just take our hurts and hand it at the bottom of the cross and say, Lord, I give it to you. I know that's a lot easier than it sounds to some people, but we're not saying, okay, it's all okay, it's all forgotten. We're just saying, it's yours to deal with, Lord. You deal with it, you take it, because I want to be forgiven and I want to move forward with you. Lead us away from temptation. Temptation is just the enemy trying to lure us away. But when we receive the daily bread, we're stronger and we can stand up to those temptations that are put in our way. Deliver us from evil. We have already been delivered from evil. When Jesus died on the cross, he defeated the enemy. He paid for us. We are delivered. When Jesus died, just before he died, he said, "It is finished." We are delivered. Right, I want to talk today about God's authority and that authority that he's given to us to use on this earth. In John 14, 13 to 14, Jesus says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Jesus tells us, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move this mountain from here to there. Well, we might think, okay, why would I want to do that? But can you imagine Moses, if someone had said to him beforehand, oh, you'll be able to part the sea one day, he'd have probably thought, well, why would I need to do that? The point is, we can. We might think, yes, well, that's for others, but not for me. I've messed up again this week. It's condemnation. And the Bible tells us there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what's wonderful about God's grace. He knew you before you were born. He knew your every weakness, your every failure that you'd ever make. Still, he loves you. Still, he loves me. A child of the living God. We're all children of the living God and we are forgiven. So every time that little thought pops in, oh, yeah, but you don't know me, you don't know what I've done. It's all forgiven. There's no condemnation. When our children do something naughty, we don't stop loving them. We may discipline them. Sometimes that hurts us more than them because we don't want to discipline them. Sometimes, you know, you can be waiting for them to come home from school and you can think, oh, I really want to do this. I want to give her a little present or something. And then they've done something really naughty and you think, oh, I wanted to so treat her. But we don't stop loving them. We just put it on the side and we give it to them later. So that's like God with us. He's our Father. He just wants to bless us. He never, ever stops loving us. No matter what we do, he'll never stop loving us. Just like the prodigal son and the father throwing a great big party on his return. He could have turned around and said, I told you so. But that's not the heart of God. Discipline isn't a bad thing. In Proverbs 3:5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, Sorry. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father who delights in his son. Sometimes we pray, when we're praying for someone to be healed or for something financial, we can pray, Lord, if it's your will. Well, if we pray according to the Bible, it is God's will. And if we read the Bible, it tells us his will is to bless us, to prosper us, to heal us physically and emotionally, to break chains that bind us, to give us boldness, to use the authority that he's already given us with the Holy Spirit. He wants his kingdom to come here on earth. That's what he's told us to pray. He's given us everything we need. In 2 Kings 20, Hezekiah had become ill and he was at the point of death. And the prophet Isaiah went to him and said, "Put your house in order because you're going to die. You won't recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember, O Lord, how I've walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what was good in your eyes." And he wept bitterly. Our God hears our prayers. The Lord spoke to Isaiah again and told him, "Go back to Hezekiah and tell him this. This is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, and I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go to the temple of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. And I will deliver you and this city for my sake and the sake of my servant David." Notice that God didn't just heal him and answer the prayer that he asked for, but he did more. He went above and beyond. He added 15 years to his life and he rescued the city. Our God wants to do for us all good things that a father would like to do for us. He's merciful. He wants the best for us, but we have to believe that and grasp hold of it. We need faith. In Matthew 8, a man with leprosy came and knelt before Jesus and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. He said, "I am willing. Be clean." The man was healed. When the centurion came, asked him for help for his servant who was at home, and it says he was paralyzed and suffering, Jesus said he would go and heal him. But the centurion said he didn't deserve that the Lord come under his roof, and asked Jesus just to say the word and his servant would be healed then and there, as he understood authority, because he was a man of authority himself. Jesus was so impressed with the man's faith and understanding that he healed the servant then and there. Okay, so what is faith and how do we get more? In Hebrews 11 it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So if we believe that God will answer our prayers, he will. Quite a few years ago I'd only just become a Christian, and I'd been diagnosed with ovarian cysts. I was booked to go into the hospital, and some new friends that I'd met in the church took me to a meeting, and a prophet came from America. And they picked out a few people from that meeting. There were about 100 people there, I would say. And they picked out about 10 of us, and they really spoke into the lives of these people. And by the time they got to me, I was quite worried what they were going to say in public, but they actually said, "The Lord wants to heal you." And he didn't know me. Now, it happened at that time that I'd get up in the night and I'd be in a lot of pain and I couldn't stand up straight. And I went home, and that particular night I woke up again in pain and I got out of bed. But I thought, hang on a minute, I thought he said I was healed. And the minute I said it, the pain disappeared. We have to have faith. We have to believe what we're told from God, because it is his will. Back in the 90s, Costas and I felt that we should move our family to Greece. And I know you're probably thinking, you know, "Oh, that's great. That's an easy one." Well, it's not that great. But I'd already lived there anyway, and I didn't want to move back. So we'd set up a business. We'd put everything we had into making this business, because we had to support ourselves. And it it took a lot, and the schools were really expensive when we went out there. And we had the two boys who were both in college. They were 14 and 16. And we got to the point where the business hadn't yet taken off, and we didn't have enough money to send both of them to school the following year. So we prayed, Lord, help. You know, you've sent us here. We need your help. So I got a call within a matter of days from a friend of mine who said, I've just been for a job interview at an international school, but they want someone who knows computers really well, and I don't. She said, but I've given your name and they're waiting for your call. So I rang them, went in for an interview, got the job, and that paid. I only had to pay 10% of the fees, and I got a really high wage. Our testimonies are life-giving. They are very important, because sometimes people, when they just hear our testimonies, say it's of healing, they can be healed just listening to those testimonies. Don't be afraid to give your testimony. In 7 Ephesians 2:6, it said, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is grace, by grace that you've been saved, through faith. And this isn't from yourself, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. In Acts 2, it said, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say some of you might. It says you, plural, will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. We all have the gift of the Holy Spirit, but we need to spend time with him. We need to have faith to believe he's with us, and we need to listen. In 2 Timothy, it says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you. For God did not give you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. God already gave us the spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. We know amazing things can happen with faith as small as a mustard seed, but what happens when we let in doubt and fear? In Matthew 8, Jesus was asleep in the boat with his disciples when a storm came up and the disciples were afraid and woke up Jesus. And he said, you have little faith, why are you so afraid? He knew they had authority on earth, and he rebuked the waves and it was calm. In another passage, Peter steps out on the water to follow Jesus. He took a few steps because his face and his eyes were on the Lord. But when he took them off and he panicked, he started sinking. I was watching a trailer recently from a new movie, and it was saying, doubt is our biggest enemy. It's very true. It can hold us back from our purpose and our destiny in God, from all the things he wants to bless us with, and most of all, to recognize his presence. By putting ourselves down and saying, well, God wouldn't do that for me, we're choosing to believe the enemy. One of the biggest weapons of the enemy is to sow doubt in us. He could say, who are you and why would God listen to you? Are you really saved? Well, this is where faith comes into practice. The Bible tells us about the armor of God in Ephesians 6. And it says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, because when we pray in tongues, the Spirit is interceding for us. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil has had plenty of practice, and that's why it's called schemes. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God, the Bible. The more we know it, the more we can hold up the shield, and we can fight back, because our fight isn't against flesh and blood, it's against spiritual. But we've already won, so just learn the word. God called Jeremiah, he said to him, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations, but Jeremiah was afraid and doubted. So God said to him, don't be afraid, I am with you. Each one of you, God knew you before you were born. You've been set apart because God loves you. In the story of Gideon, I know Ian brought this up last week, but it was also on my heart. In the story of Gideon in Judges, it says the Midianites had invaded Israel to the point that some of the Israelites were living in caves and in crevices in the rocks. And the Israelites called on the Lord for help. An angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon while he was hiding in a wine press, threshing some wheat. He was hiding so that they wouldn't actually take the wheat. The angel called him a mighty warrior and told him, "The Lord is with you and he will free you from the Israelites." But Gideon's reply was, "But sir, if the Lord is with us, where are all his wonders that our fathers have told us about?" The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength that you have and save Israel from the hands of the Midianites." "But Lord," he says, "I'm weak and I'm from the weakest clan." The Lord replied that he would be with Gideon and hand the enemy over to him. But Gideon, being very normal, very much like me, I suppose, he turned round and said, "Well, Lord, just give me a sign. If it's really you, just give me a sign." So God did. He gave him a sign. And then he says, "Okay, just give me another sign. If I place this fleece on the floor, will you cover it with dew in the morning, but leave everything dry around the outside so I know it's really you and you're really going to be with me?" So God does. Gideon rang out a whole bowl of water from that fleece, but it still wasn't enough. He said, "Don't be angry with me, Lord, but just one more test. I just really need to be sure. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground wet." God does. The amazing thing about Gideon is God sent his angel and called him a mighty man of valor. God doesn't see us as we see ourselves. He sees us as his children, mighty men and women of valor. He will use anyone who is willing. God wanted to hand the enemy over to Gideon, but Gideon had around 30,000 men, and God said, "No, that's too many, because the Israelites will boast and they will think it's them who's won." So he reduced them to around 300 men. But still Gideon needed reassurance. So God said, "Go down to the enemy camp and I will encourage you. If you're afraid, take your servant." So he does. So he was still afraid even after all those tests. He sneaks down to the enemy camp with his servant and listens to one of the soldiers who was saying he'd had a dream and he'd interpreted it that Gideon would defeat them. So Gideon went off really encouraged, and of course the next day he defeats the enemy. It's so easy to be afraid, even though we've been told time and time again, and that's why we need to stay close with the Lord. God tells great men throughout the Bible, "Don't be afraid, I'm with you." We don't need to be afraid. God is with us. The battle is already won. When Jesus died on the cross, he descended to hell. He defeated the devil. He rose back out victorious and he ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. And he didn't leave us alone. He sent his Holy Spirit to be with us. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power and the Holy Spirit and deep conviction." That same Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is in us, so we can be victorious. Jesus said in John 14, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me," or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, and he will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." That's quite a promise, isn't it? Jesus commissioned us to go into the world. He commissioned us to preach the good news, but not just with words, but power. In other words, signs and wonders. It's for us as the church of God to step out and use everything we've been given. Our God is the God of truth. He gave us his Son so that we're free from death and the devil. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And he's here inside of each of us. That was his promise. That's what he did. He gave his Holy Spirit. It is up to us to pick up the authority we've been commissioned with. He has given us everything we need. We just need to step out in faith. And Jesus will answer to bring all the glory to the Father in heaven. It can take faith to step out. But God is with us. And we're told, if God is with us, who can be against us? It took faith when the stone was rolled away from Lazarus's tomb. He'd been dead for 4 days. And Martha had said, "But Lord, there'll be an odour." But Jesus' reply was, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" It took faith when the fishermen had been fishing all night and caught nothing, and then Jesus told them to throw their nets on the other side. They must have been quite tired and fighting with the knowledge that as professional fishermen, they knew there was nothing out there. They'd been out there all night, but they threw their nets on the other side and they were filled to overflowing. We just need to listen. God loves us. Jesus loves us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We've been told how to pray and that Jesus will answer us. We have been told that authority has been given to us to heal the sick and set the captives free, and that this will bring glory to the Father. Even mighty men of God can be afraid and doubt, but God constantly tells us not to be afraid, for I am with you. In Luke 12, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, or what you will eat, or about your body, or about what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds?" When I was praying the other day, I was asking for a word to share, and this is what I had back. It's Luke 12:32, and it says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." It does go on, and you may want to actually read that later. It also says, "Do not store up treasures in heaven." Do not store up treasures on earth, but in heaven. Okay, this is a very short message, I know, but sorry. To round up, God has told us how to pray. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us authority. He loves us. He wants us to love each other and to have faith to step out according to his word, to see his kingdom come on earth so that we can bring glory to the Father. In Joshua, after the death of Moses, God spoke to Joshua and told him, "Wherever you place your foot, I will give it to you. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Be strong, be courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This is a new day. It's a new season. God is moving. As we heard from Florence last week, there were miracles. People were set free from demons. People were healed. We are coming into a new season again. Sometimes when things seem really dark, that's when the light will shine brightest. If you think you're in a dark place, financially, physically, spiritually, whatever, pray in God's kingdom. That's what Jesus has told us to do. Pray in the new season, God's light, it will come. When we are weak, he is strong. Just like with Gideon, when he had 30,000 men, God says it's too many because the Israelites would boast it was them. But when it was only 300, they couldn't boast. It had to be God. The Father will get the glory, and that's where it belongs. And that's hallowed be thy name. God is with us. Let go of yesterday. Forget the former things. A new thing is coming. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And I'd just like to repeat the one thing that I said I felt was for us. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. If anyone would like, I know it's quite short, but if anyone would like prayer to have more faith, please come out and be prayed for.